This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And here we are live. You're here with Dr. Jeff Werber, the next for the host, 30 minutes here on Pet Life Radio's Ask the Vet with Dr. Jeff. And, of course, here on Instagram Live. I just turned on my Instagram, so we'll wait for some followers to join us. Cat Snippers is here. Hello, good morning, good morning. And we got a number of joining us at once. I love it, love it, love it. Hello, have your questions ready, please. I got time to answer questions. I got things to talk about. So I'm just going to make sure I wave back to everybody, which is great, and keep coming. So anyway, I had a little crazy week. I don't know if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about this very large pit bull that had the pyometra. We talked about the importance of spay neuter, especially if you don't have, if you have a female dog that you're not going to breed and they're getting old, just get them fixed. It avoids so many problems. And this was one of them. So anyway, dog's doing great. I was really worried because if you recall, the pyometra had ruptured. So that means all this pus was literally leaking into the abdomen. And it was really, really, I mean, that's very dangerous. So something we learned in vet school, they drill it into you. Dilution is the solution to pollution. So when you have something that's potentially toxic or very, very severe for the abdomen or any part of the body, that's why when you think about a wound, what's one thing we always do? We flush the wound. So we want to flush it out really, really well. The more flushing, the whatever bacteria is there, it dilutes everything. In this case, it would have been the bacteria, the pus, et cetera, would be diluted. So it is, Sharon, how you doing? So it is very, very important. So anyway, I think I put in 4 liters of fluid, just flushing it. You want to wait until the liquid that you sort of suck up in your device, okay, that it is as clear as the stuff you're putting in. So, and it takes a while to do that. So dog's doing great. I'm thrilled. And I was supposed to do another foreign body surgery, but the woman wanted overnight care. We don't do that. I would have saved them a couple $1,000s, but you know, what are you going to do? And then on a sad note, we talked about last Sunday that my cat, one of my cats, 14-year-old Ollie, had, I don't know if I knew the diagnosis of that, kidney renal lymphoma. And boy, it came on so suddenly. I'm telling you, he had one day, not eating, he ate, but he just didn't eat with that same vigor. And every morning when I feed my dogs and I top it with some canned food, Ollie would jump up on the counter and just wait for me to give him a little bit of the canned dog food. I mean, he just finished his whole meal of cat food. Now he wants a little bit of dog food. And I give it to him. It was our thing every morning. And this second morning, he didn't do it. Brought him in. Turns out it was renal lymphoma. Started treatment, just wasn't enough. He was so sick and had fluid buildup in his lungs called pleural effusion. So that means the tumor had already gone to his lymph nodes and his mediastinum. Hey, JB. So it was unfortunately just a sad, sad mess. But come Monday, it was clear he couldn't fight it. And we had to say goodbye. Very, very sad. It was really not sad. I'm sort of happy. But when we adopted him, a woman came in with 2 little kittens. I took one. And one of my employees, he was a tech at the time. He left veterinary medicine. But we kept in touch. Great guy. Anyway, he took the brother, litter mates. And so the brother just turned 14, and he is doing great. So that's good. I told him a story. I said, keep it going. All right. I get a cat off the street, all right, and is 1 FVRCP sufficient? Does it need another in a month? For older cats, our shelter is unsure. Okay, here's the thing with cats. First of all, if you have cats, and they're indoor only, meaning they're not going to be subjected to rabies and feline leukemia, if you live in a state where rabies is not required for cats, don't give it for an indoor cat. Don't give leukemia vaccines for indoor-only cats. And what I mean indoor-only, if you walk your cat in a stroller or on a harness, you're with it, that counts as indoor-only. What I mean indoor-outdoor ones that are left free to roam outside. Here's why. Because we have something called feline vaccine-induced sarcoma. It's a tumor, which is why we only vaccinate cats now in the thighs. And there's no treatment for that tumor. You could remove it, it's going to come back. The only way you can really remove it, which is why we give it the thighs, is we can amputate the limb that we've given the shot in, is the back thigh, back leg. And they do fine. 3-legged cats do fine. But Don't give a vaccine to a cat that is not going to be subjected to the disease. So now, having said that, there's something called an anamnestic response. That's a memory response, which is why in most vaccines, we usually give two. We do the first, and we follow up a month. Now, if you start as a puppy or kitten, I like for dogs, 8, 12, 16, ideal. You don't want to finish the series much before 15 weeks because the body's own immune system is not geared up yet to make that long-term immunity less than 15 weeks of age. So I'll go up 15. You know, some people go 7, 11, 15. I can buy it. I prefer 8, 12, 16. Cats, they say, do have that ability. So many people advocate just 2, 8 and 12. I am a little bit more cautious, but I will then, after that, I will titer, okay? So if you have the ability to titer and you don't want you're hesitant to give a shot, then do a titer. It's a blood test. We'll measure existing antibody. Now, what about the stray? You have no history whatsoever. You have no idea if it ever even had one vaccine. The recommendation is to do two, a month apart, just to make sure you prime the immune system with the first shot, and then you do that memory response with the second, that will give them that long-term protection. If the cat's over a year, that second shot's probably good for 3 years. So again, you need to check with your local authorities, your veterinarian, but that is my recommendation. Now, could you get away with only one in an adult animal if you have no idea of history? Yeah, you can. If you really don't want to give that second, do the first one, wait about a month, and do it titer. If that titer is really high, showing that you still have protection, then that means either the cat's immune system was good enough or it did have at least one shot while it was on the street or before it hit the street, before it became a quote-unquote stray cat. So hopefully that's the answer. And good question, by the way. Am I taking what? Oh, yes, I'm talking about Ollie. Very sad. We did have to say goodbye. You know me, I felt that he was suffering and once they stop eating, you know, here are my criteria. We've talked about this before. Just things to think about. There's no, when I tell clients, this is not a question and answer. This is just, I want you to be primed to think about it, okay? And that is, first of all, are they enjoying life? Is there something that still excites them? Whether it's a walk, whether it's food, whether it's just that. They really get, when you come home, do they still run up to you and want cuddles? Okay, number two would be, are they still eating? That's very important. If they're not eating, then it's time. Okay. Number three, I love this one. Are they living or are they just existing? I mean, the heart could be pumping, but are they really living? And are they in pain? If they're in pain and you can't solve the pain, then it's time. So, you know, you can make a mistake. You can't make a mistake by saying goodbye a little bit too early, but you can make a terrible mistake by waiting too long. So don't wait too much. That's the most important thing. You want to make sure that they are at least comfortable. Because one thing that when I go into rescuing a pet, I know one thing for a fact. I mean, as long as I stay healthy, I'm going to outlive them. I mean, unless I, you know, rescue a puppy when I'm 90, and hopefully I'll hit 90, but then of course that dog might outlive me. Now, would I get a parrot at 50? No. Because they're going to live 70 years. So make sure your kids like birds as much as you do if you're thinking of getting a parrot or a macaw or any of the citizens, the large breed citizens. They live quite a while. Thanks, JB. I really appreciate it. So anyway, I hope you guys are staying cool. Here in LA, we had a big heat wave. And my daughter knows someone. This is a terrible story, but I need to share it because it happens. Young couple, kids. Right? There's commotion. They had the dog in the car and the husband thinks the wife's going to get the dog. Dog thinks the wife. They bring the baby inside and life goes on. All of a sudden, 2 hours later, where's the dog? Oh my God. They went to the car. The dog was literally, it was over 110 degrees in the car. The dog was probably the ticker's temperature. It was 107 degrees, panting. I mean, really. And they tried to, you know, cool it down, water it down, and the poor thing died. That is terrible. So it's almost like you hear these stories about kids falling into a pool. Nice, Steph. And it happens. Crap happens. And everyone thinks the other one knows about it. And we have a pool gate around ours because you never know. It's always the one person thinks the other person's got it covered. That person thinks the other person has it covered. Before you know it, nobody has them covered. And that's how these accidents happen. So I feel the same way. The recommendation is never leave your dog alone in a parked car, even with the windows down, even in the shade, even in a parking structure, even with the air conditioner. It's unbelievable because why? They freak out. They get panicked sometimes. Now, if they were calm, it probably would be fine. But when they start panting, what happens? What's coming out of their mouth? What's the temperature of that breath? It's their body temperature, 102 degrees. By the time they're in the car, it might be 103, 104. And so they are basically, regardless of what's going on outside that car, if the windows are up or even just cracked a little bit, which most people, they don't leave it open because they're afraid the dog's going to jump out. So then you're looking at a really bad situation. And that temperature in the car can just jump up so fast. So don't count on luck. All right, any other questions? Let me see what we got here. Shannon, how are you? Good friend of you. Ah, Ziva, okay. So here's small dog has been shaking since Friday after going to the dog park. He walks oddly. He's pooping, eating. All right, so a couple of questions. Number one, I need to know how old is this dog? And what has been his condition before all this happened? Was he healthy, eating well? Is he very old? Was being at the park too much for him? It was very hot out there, as we know. So how active was he at the park? So these are all things I need to know, because is it shaking from pain, from anxiety, from excitement? They shake for a lot of different reasons. There are, and if it was just a single episode, believe it or not, dogs can have petit mal seizures, all right? And that could be, but those are episodes. That's not continuous shaking. So he is 7 turning 8. So if you can, we can do this after the show. I know you're a friend of my sister's. You can send me a video of the dog, because picture's worth 1,000 words. The live video is worth 100,000 words. It really would help me to see what it looks like, what's going on. And then I want to know, is the dog eating? If you're calling out to go out for a walk or something, will he get excited and want to do it? Or is it just sitting around, not wanting to move, very depressed? You need to take his temperature. You get a rectal thermometer. Everybody out there, you should have a thermometer for your pets. You get a rectal thermometer. It can be any kind of digital thermometer. Save it for your pet. Put it in the pet drawer. All right? I don't want you sticking nothing in your mouth. And don't do that. And take your temperature. It's very important because that tells us a lot, especially if the dog is shaking. If they're very high fever, that could be a problem. All right. So he walks oddly. He's pooping, eating, peeing like normal, but avoid walking. So that could be pain. This could be a pain thing. If he's still eating but avoids walking, it's happened after a day at the park. He could have twisted, turned something. And one of the things they do when they are in pain, they will shiver, they will shake. So there are some things we can do in a pinch. And I need to know how much he weighs. And then we'll talk. All right, Michelle. 9-year-old poodle, loss of appetite, was licking the ground. Took her to the vet, did an X-ray ultrasound. Something, did an endoscopy and removed a large hairball. All right, but doing procedure. Are we done or is there more to it? They saw something, did an endoscopy and removed a large hairball, but during procedure. So, hello, Blair. I hope you don't mind, Blair. I'm going to read your note because I've often talked about, first of all, thank you very much. That was really sweet. I'll share this with you guys because I think about this often as I talk to veterinarians. And it's a good question for you guys as well. It's kind of a little philosophical. Sometimes this is my soapbox. I get to be a little philosophical sometimes, but I think it's important in life, really is. So we'll talk about this after the break. All right. I just adopted a stray, 9. Has allergies, often scratching in her face. Can't put away the allergy. What's the best allergy medicine? So it really depends. When they're scratching at their face, licking at their feet, all right, ears, fate feast ears, I always think there's a possibility it's one of those 15 to 20% of dogs that actually have food allergies. The most common food allergens are beef and poultry, so chicken and turkey. And duck is fine. So what I recommend, we really have to delve into this a little bit. Is it seasonal? Is it not seasonal? Are you seeing lesions and scratches and sores on the body? Are the teeth, if it's rubbing the face, how are the teeth? If the teeth have a lot of plaque and tartar, 9 years old, all right, that's very possible. It causes, so how do they can't scratch their gums. So what they do is they rub their face. So these are all things that need to be seen. I don't know when the last time the dog had a thorough exam, but should have an examination and see really what is the problem. And have you changed foods? How long has this been going on? All right. If it's seasonal, if this happens during spring and summer, then it's most likely pollen allergies. So there's a lot to look at. This is one of those cases where, you know, it's a stray dog. You don't know much about it. So you don't know whether it's seasonal. You don't know what food. Have you changed the food since you adopted it? Is it getting the same food that it was being given? As I said, are there lesions, et cetera? So these are things we have to know. So when we come back, I have a philosophical question for you all. May not be necessarily pet related, though, of course, pets could come into the equation. So just because of how we love them. So not overheated, good. All right. So he does eat. Nitzan, how are you? Marshalcha, Bokatov. Okay. So a 7-pound dog normally never shakes. Okay, that's good. We have some things to talk about now. All right. So no lesions. So interesting. So that means that it could be just a habit. I would check the mouth and also think about food allergies. We'll talk about that after the break. Don't go away. We're going to talk something about philosophically, and I think it's important. All right. So we'll see you back after these short messages from our sponsors here at Pet Life Radio. We'll be back in a minute.
You know the expression, cats have 9 lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio. Pet Life Radio. PetLifeRadio.com.
All right. Back here live on both. So, okay. When they remove the hairball, she went hypoxic. They changed the tube, did x-rays, sent her cardiology work, still looking at the ground and choking. So what happened? All right. Hello, Sylvester. Did they were able to help? That's very strange. First of all, something's going on. There's something maybe in the back of that throat. Obviously, there's more to be tested on that. So, all right, a little philosophical discussion. I talk about this young veterinary wannabes and I lecture. And what I talk about really is success. Think about success. I mean, some people, when you say, you're describing somebody who makes a lot of money, what term do we use? Oh, why? They're hugely successful. Are they really? What is success? Is it money? So success for many people mean different things. And I'm just curious, I know it's very philosophical. What does it mean when someone says, I've achieved success? So yeah, for some it's money, absolutely. For some it's a calm, a peaceful life. For some people it's plenty of time to work just to survive, to make, go on vacations, because that's, they're successful if they get to take a lot of vacations, see the world, whatever it is. So, you know, for me, I define success as by successfully impacting young doctors, young students, and also when I'm now taking care of the grandchildren of clients that I had when I started 40 plus years ago. That to me, that's success, because I know I did something right. The fact that their kids came and see me and now their kids are seeing me. So that is success. So anyway, where's this coming from? And the woman who wrote this happens to be here. I don't know if you're still there, Blair, but so a good friend of, you know, we've talked about Vicky. She's been on our show from Eloise Rescue. She sends me a friend of hers whose daughter is interested in veterinary medicine. She's in high school, going into her third year. And I, you know, as long as they're 16, they can volunteer. And just so anyone who knows somebody who's interested in a career in veterinary medicine, you are looking at least 1,000 hours of work experience just to apply. That is a kicker. If you have two A students, one's got, you know, 200, 300 hours, one is 1,000, it's going to the 1,000. So you really know it's important to early on, when you're even thinking about it, start volunteering, doing some work, doing something with animals. So Blake, Blair's daughter, I know it's confusing, comes in, charming little girl, not so little, actually, and she's very tall, and she is just so into this. This is what she's wanted to do. And I always ask her, are you okay? I mean, because for some, if they've never really been in this situation before, and they see it, they see the stress, they see the insanity in my hospital, they see the surgeries for the first time, and they see bleeding, and they go, how many times they see a euthanasia? I've spoken to so many people. They say, oh, I wanted to do this when I was little, but then I saw, but it was, then you have to put animals to sleep. That could be a game changer. It could be a deal breaker. Absolutely. So anyway, apparently, Blake is enjoying it. I get this from her mom. Love this. This to me is success. When someone asks Blake, who is your role model or the person that has had the most profound effect upon her life, it will be you. I kind of tell you what a tremendous impact you have had on her life, especially going into her junior year. You have given her the fuel for her drive and fire. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I truly cannot express my gratitude enough. Much love, Blair. So that, to me, if I were to say, what is success? That's success. When you have done something that impacts somebody else so well, and you can continually do this. I have right now, five of my former employee or volunteer techs or veterinary assistants in veterinary school. That's success. So the fact that I just scare them away, that's why I'm happy. Because a lot of times they see what it's like and they see how crazy busy it is. They realize, oh my God, I don't want to do this. But no, it's true. It's for me, I'm having the most fun. Okay, for Panicum, had teeth been cleaned and has blood work. I haven't had it for only 3 months. So if there was a diet change, or if there's, here's another thing. If there's no scratches, no irritation, no redness on the muzzle, where you're rubbing the face and the teeth are clean, before you go crazy and start one of the more difficult things to do, and that is a modified, it's called the elimination diet. Why not just to chalk it up to, I like, just rub my face. Ask a nail biter why they bite their nails. Ask a thumb sucker why they suck their thumb, right? Everybody has their quirks that they just find some peace. And if some dogs feel a little something in their muzzle and love to rub it against the carpet, then it could be that. So you might, I don't want you knocking yourself out with an elimination diet and finding out all it was. Why'd you do it? Because I like it. So it could be that as well. But if you really wanted to get into it, you can try to do some elimination diet. And that is, you really, really want to get a rare, unusual, novel protein with a grain they've never had before. So stay away from rice, corn, and wheat. Every food has one of those. And you want to go quinoa, barley, oats, or green pea, or sweet potato, something else in there, get the carbs, and see if that works. If you want to produce dry cat in a factory, what are the best things? I would assume dry cat food. So this is a question. I can line you up with a board-certified veterinary nutritionist. These are veterinarians that have gone through a 3-year residency in nutrition. They used to be board-certified by the ACVN, American College of Veterinary Nutrition, which is now part of the American College of Veterinary Internal Medicine. So just like oncology, just like neurology, okay? And just like cardiology, which were 3 subspecialties under internal medicine, now that added nutrition. So I do work with 1 or 2 veterinary nutritionists, and that would be the same thing. There would be a consulting fee. That's how they make their living, but they can help you design. And then there are also, if you want to check on the veterinary schools, and now you have like 39 to check up with. Back in my day, there were 24, and some of them actually have in their nutrition department this service where they can help somebody develop a home-cooked diet that is balanced and healthy. Yeah, that is, if you live a happy life doing what you can. So thank you. By the way, Blair, love the sweatshirt. I don't know where I could wear it. But by the way, it's a sweatshirt that says, I don't even know if I can repeat it here because I'm on Pet Life Radio and Instagram. I don't know what you'd say, but basically it says, and you can get it, says effing legendary. Anyway, I thought that was really cute. All right. So thank you, Janice. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. 14-year-old cat has a runny right eye for a few months. I haven't flushed it. Okay. So that definitely needs to be seen. Now, it could be as simple as some cats, as well as dogs, will get a plugged tear duct. So the tearing usually goes through a duct and it comes out of the nose. You don't even notice it. One thing we can do simply is we do what's called a fluorescein eye stain. We take the fluorescein dye that we use to determine if we're an ulcer, if there's a corneal ulcer or a corneal scratch or a corneal irritation. And we can take the black light and watch the nose. If green drops come out of the nose, we know that everything is working well. But if you have green coming out of one side and nothing coming out of the side the tears are running over the lid and staining the face, then we know we have a plugged tear duct and we can try to unplug it. Sometimes you have to create a new cannula. The opening called the cannula gets covered up with tissue and we got to break through it. And if all fails, you can't open it. We live with it. It's not dangerous as long as the discharge is to clear tears. Now, if it was thick and mucousy, then we might have a conjunctivitis. We'd have to do an eye stain anyway because we have to determine what medication might be safe to treat the conjunctivitis. And if there is a conjunctivitis and a corneal irritation, we can't use anything with steroids. But if the cornea is clear and it's just an infection, there are some really good medications we can use to help clear up the infection. All right. Now, flush the tear ducts or flush the eye? That we need to know. If they flush the tear ducts, then they were able to flush them, then, and the eye is clean, I'd use a steroid drop and see if it can decrease inflammation. So I think I got to everybody's question. I hope I did. If I didn't, you can always get a hold of me. So Michelle, what was the final? You went hypoxic to cardiologist. Are they on meds? Did the cardiologist find anything? Choking, licking the ground? Well, I want to find out what else happened. So please reach out to me. And Nazi, if you want information, you can reach me after the show here on Instagram, and I can put you in touch with one of the board-certified veterinary nutritionists that I know, and they can help you develop a food, which is what you seem to want to do. All right? All right. I hope I caught everybody. I hope I got your questions. If I didn't, then just, you know how to get a hold of me. You can reach me on AirVet. In fact, AirVet, we just signed on Yelp, actually. Now the fun thing is going to be, will Yelp, now that they are partnering with us and providing AirVet to their employees, if somebody complains about us, about AirVet, are they going to blast it on Yelp? Because it's like, wait, time out. Do you want to do that? We're helping your employees. Are you going to bury us now? So we'll have to see. I don't know if Yelp has the same impact. I think everybody knows now that the people that mostly complain are complainers. They're going to complain about anything. So I used to answer them. I used to try to be really nice and apologize. It's not worth my time. It really isn't. Most people now know that Yelp are just a bunch of complainers. In fact, when I sometimes see someone come in at the office, a new client, I say, how'd you hear about us? I go, I saw on Yelp. I go, Yelp? Well, do you need glasses? Can you not read? How can you come in after some of the things that people say? So anyway, I don't pay much attention to it anymore, because if people want to not come, my clients that still do come will be thrilled, because they only have to wait 20 minutes or 30 or 40 minutes instead of an hour and a half. So anyway, and those of you who hang in there with me, you know what I mean. All right. Anyway, great joining me. Let me see. Next Sunday, I'm going to be here. In the Sunday after that, on the 13th, I think the 14th, I'm going to try. I may, if it's okay with everybody, do my show at 10 instead of 9. And also, Mark, let me know, because I'm going to AHA, American Animal Hospital Association Convention, flying back early Sunday morning. I think I land at 8:30 or something. So maybe I'll do a show at 10. If that would be okay, you'll let me know. And if that's okay with you guys, I know from, if you're back east, it's 1 o'clock. You may have better things to do than listen to me. But just give me a thumbs up, or during the week, just send me a thumbs up. That'd be okay. Otherwise, we'll just do it the following week. All right? Again, thanks for joining me. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Again, if you have any questions during the week, you don't have to wait till Sunday. You reach out to me, and I'll help you as best and as fast as I can. Take care. Bye.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.